with all I am, Lord. I remember, Lord, the day you came into my life. I moved from darkness into light. And I remember that day, Lord. And from now on, until forever, I will worship you with all I am. For you are me. I am nothing without you, Lord God. And I worship you with all I am. I give you my praise, my glory. I give you my soul and my body to do with as you will, Lord God. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you with all I am, Lord God. Because all I am comes from you. I can find no source anywhere else except in you, Lord God, that would fill the emptiness that was once in this heart. But you, Lord God, you came and you filled it. And I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Praise God. The King lives. Amen. The King lives forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you can, go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? He's good all the time to who? And we need to worship Him. When? All the time. And it doesn't have to be like this to worship Him. You can worship Him even while you're on your job. All you have to do is set your heart to worship Him. It doesn't have to be vocal. It doesn't have to be outward. God sees what's on your heart. And you can worship Him while you're at work, while you're at play, while you're shopping, as long as your heart, hallelujah, is set to worship Him, He will see it. Amen? Would you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to take up the offering tonight. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. I'll get my ushers to get you one. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Verse 6, hallelujah. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each of one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. That means He's looking on your heart, doesn't it? Hallelujah. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Notice in that verse he used the word all three times. Amen. He's going to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Amen. And it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us toward God. That word thanksgiving there, in the Greek, means to have a grateful language toward God or an act of worship. Thanksgiving is actually an act of worship. Amen? Praise God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody ready to give? Got your offering ready? Hallelujah. Got your offerings ready? Need an envelope? Praise God. Hold your offering up. Father, we thank you tonight for these offerings, these tithes and these offerings. Father God, we thank you that they're being sown with cheerful hearts, not out of necessity or grudgingly, but because they want to, because they love you, Lord God. And they're being offered to you, Lord God, tonight as an act of worship unto you. Lord God, with With these tithes, we say unto you, we love you, Lord God, and we love to do your word. And we know, Lord, that when we do your word, you will keep your word, and you will see to it that we have grace for all things, and that in all things we have all sufficiency given back to us to do the things you have called us to do. And we call them in now in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And tonight I want to look a little bit at what Thanksgiving is. Turn with me to Psalm 95. Amen? Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. I want to look at that word thanksgiving there. That's the Hebrew word translated. And in the Hebrew, that means to give adoration to, or to have a choir of worship, or a sacrifice or confession of praise unto. Amen? So he's telling us here that we let us come before his presence with adoration or a sacrifice or confession of praise unto him, or to bring with us a choir of worship. Amen? He wants us to come worshiping him. That's what thanksgiving means in the Hebrew. Let's go over to Psalm 100. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Not just one land, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Knowing that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. Man does not make himself, nor does he make himself prosperous, as some people think. It is the Lord our God who has given us the ability to gain wealth. Amen? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. We'll stop for a minute. For a long time, I've always thought that I entered His gates with thanksgiving. That I went up to His gates thanking Him for something, and He let me in, and once I got into the inner courts, then I praised Him. No. You come to His gates worshiping Him. That word thanksgiving is the same Hebrew word that we looked at earlier. It means to come with a choir of worship or a song or confession of praise unto Him. Amen. You're not going to get through the gates into His court if you're not worshiping Him when you get there. Praise is good and praise is needed. But we can't even get into His courts to praise Him if we don't worship Him at His outer gates. I thought that was interesting when I found the real definition of that. Because I always thought I had to kind of sneak up on Him, you know. Little thanksgiving first, and then I get in, and then I can enter His courts where I'm more in His presence and praise Him. No, I have to come worshiping. I have to come worshiping to begin with. And then He gives me the honor of allowing me to praise Him. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Just how good is His mercy? How good is His thanksgiving? Go over to Psalm 107. verse 19. Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His Word, Jesus, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Verse 21, Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Amen? We're to come to Him sacrificing sacrifices of worship, of adoration. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Of God. Now, remember, we're in the Greek now. That word thanksgiving is an act of worship again. Amen? Everywhere you see the word thanksgiving in the New Testament, it's an act of worship. Amen? Praise God. Well, tonight, because we're getting ready as a nation to celebrate a national holiday that we call Thanksgiving tomorrow, it would be fitting if I would give you guys just a little bit of background on that holiday and what it really is supposed to be about. Amen? It's not about sitting down at the table and stuffing your face until you fall out of the chair and then getting up and going and watching football for 2 hours and falling asleep in the middle of the game and missing it. Amen? No. Thanksgiving is about celebrating the goodness of our God. And it goes all the way back to when it first started. Americans generally trace the traditional Thanksgiving back to Plymouth Rock and the Mayflower group and the original Pilgrims. Black, big tall hat, buckles. Not so. They didn't have big, tall, black hats and big buckles until the 17th century. Amen? But that's okay. We can look at them that way. But really, that first feast that we traditionally associate Thanksgiving with wasn't even a Thanksgiving feast. It was a celebration held by the Plymouth Colony, now in the state of Massachusetts. The English pilgrims who had founded the colony marked the occasion by feasting with the native Indians, members of the Wampanoag tribe, who had earlier that year taught them how to grow grain, hunt and process berries, and to hunt and fish. And what they were celebrating was the fact that they now had a bountiful harvest that year to get them through the winter, because the previous winter they'd lost half their people because they didn't have enough food and they were sick and cold. This was more to honor the Indians and what they did to them than a celebration of Thanksgiving. In fact, they never even called it a Thanksgiving feast. They were Puritans who came over here from England to escape the Church of England so that they could worship God their way and not be told how to do it. And the Puritans were known religious holidays or days of thanksgivings that they would do to celebrate winning a battle or something good. This was not Thanksgiving to them. In fact, 2 years later, it was not celebrated again. 1 year. It was 3 days long. They feasted with the Indians for 3 days. Are we going to have Thanksgiving for 3 days? We may eat turkey for a week, but it's not Thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. But no, it was not celebrated again. But 2 years later, that same colony called a day of prayer and fasting because they were in a drought. And in the middle of the prayer and fasting day, rain came. So they changed the name of the day from a prayer and fasting day to a day of thanksgiving at that time. But that was in 1621. In 1619, 2 years earlier, another group of English people down in Virginia called the Berkeley Plantation at a site near the Charles River in Virginia, led by Captain John Woodleaf, knelt in prayer and pledged thanksgiving to God for their healthy arrival after a long voyage across the Atlantic. That was 2 years before what we associate with the Pilgrims and Thanksgiving. That was actually a Thanksgiving day. They were actually giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And if that definition of thanksgiving holds back then, which I'm sure it did, they were what? They were worshiping God for safe delivery. Amen? And this event has actually been acknowledged by some scholars as the true Thanksgiving history. Amen? It doesn't matter whether it was 1621 in Plymouth Rock or 1619 in Berkeley or some other place in the United States. The important thing is, was God in it? Was it thanksgiving unto God? Amen? Colonial governments and later state governments took up the Puritan custom of designating a Thanksgiving Day to commemorate various public events. Gradually, the tradition of holding an annual Thanksgiving holiday spread throughout New England and into the other states. During the American Revolution, 1775 to 1783, the Continental Congress, the forerunner to our Constitution today, proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving following the American victory at the Battle of Saratoga in 1777. And I want to read that to you. The actual proclamation wasn't in 1777. It was a few years later. But in 1782, actually, it's when they proclaimed it. There was a forerunner to our constitutional Congress as we know it today, our government we know today. By the United States and Congress assembled, proclamation, it being the indispensable duty of all nations, not only to offer up their supplications to Almighty God, the giver of all good, for His gracious assistance in a time of distress, but also in a solemn and public manner to give Him praise for His goodness in general, and especially for great and signal interpositions of His providence in their behalf. Therefore, the United States in Congress assembled, taking into their consideration the many instances of divine goodness to these states in the course of the important conflict in which they have been so long engaged, the present happy and promising state of public affairs and the events of war in the course of the year now drawing to a close, particularly the harmony of the public councils, which is also necessary to the success of the public cause. The perfect nation and good understanding which has hereto subsisted between them and their allies, notwithstanding the artful and unwearied attempts of the common enemy to divide them, the success of the arms of the United States and those of their allies, and the acknowledgement of their independence by another European power whose friendship and commerce must be of great and lasting advantage to these states, do hereby recommend to the inhabitants of these states in general to observe and request the several states to interpose their authority in appointing and commanding the observation of Thursday, the 28th day of November next, as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all His mercies. And they do further recommend to all ranks to testify to their gratitude to God for His goodness by a cheerful obedience of His laws and by promoting each in his station and by his influence the practice of true and undefiled religion, which is the great foundation of public prosperity and national happiness. And it goes on to say, done in Congress and signed. Amen. That was our Continental Congress. Notice how much reference there is in there to God and His goodness. Separation of government and church? Our forefathers didn't have it. What's up with that? Didn't they know what the judicial system was going to say later? Let's go on. Later, U.S. President George Washington proclaimed another day of Thanksgiving in 1789 in honor of the ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Let's listen to that one. General Thanksgiving by the President of the United States, the first President of the United States, the Founding Father. Amen? A proclamation. And pardon me while I read this, but President George didn't write well, so I've got to try and interpret some of this. Amen? His spelling was atrocious, to say the least. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may unite them in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and related duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as we have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be befit. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Again, our founding fathers did not separate us from God or our government from God. In fact, they based our government on God's blessings. Amen. In 1817, New York State adopted Thanksgiving Day as an annual custom, and many other states soon did the same. Most of the state celebrations were held in November, but not always on the same day. And at some point during President Abraham Lincoln's tenure in office, a young woman who was a magazine editor decided that as a nation, we should all celebrate it on the same day and not different days in different states. And so she wrote a letter to Abraham Lincoln asking him to declare Thanksgiving Day a national holiday on a specific day. And I have one more to read to you. This is President Abraham Lincoln's. And it was in 1863 when he did this. By the President of the United States, a proclamation. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to sovereign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, it is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. What are we praising? What are we thanksgiving for? Not for the food, people. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him, gee, that sounds like tithes and offerings to me, ascriptions. Script was a form of money back then. For such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently employ the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, and tranquility and union. In testimony whereof I have set my hand and caused the seal to be affixed, done in the city of Washington, the third day of October, the year of our Lord, 1863, and the independence of the United States, the 88th, by the President Abraham Lincoln. Two of the greatest presidents and the Continental Congress all recognized Thanksgiving as a time to give thanksgiving not to the food or the land, but to Almighty God. And yet today we've got government that wants to separate us from our Almighty God. Our founding fathers did not intend that ever to be. Amen? Praise God. So what are we going to celebrate tomorrow? We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, right? Whatever you do, don't leave God out of it. Whatever you do, don't forget to always, first and foremost, give your thanks and praise to Him. After all, it's Him that gave you the ability to get wealth. And without the ability to get wealth, you would not have the ability to put that food on the table. So yeah, thank Him for the food. Pray a blessing over the food, that it bring nourishment and health to your bodies, and that nothing harmful in it that might possibly be in it harm you. Trust me, that prayer is a good prayer to pray over your food. Especially with the world the way it is today. You don't know what's in your food sometimes. Amen? But the Lord your God should be first and foremost in your thinking and thoughts tomorrow. Amen? When you rise in the morning, the first thing you should say is, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for another day." Amen? I thank you for another day every morning. I bet you do too, don't you? Yeah. Amen. God is good. Now, I have some other little tidbits, and then I'm going to let you go. Amen. What foods do you suppose were on that first harvest feast table? Turkey? Pumpkin pie? No. They had corn. There's theory that they popped it. It was how do they call that? Braised corn. The term was braised. They would take it and throw it in the fire, roast it. Sometimes it would pop. It's safe to say that the pilgrims weren't gobbling up pumpkin pie or playing with mashed potatoes. Following is a short list of what might have been on their table. Now, we're certain that they had venison and fowl. What kind of fowl? Was it turkey? Possibly. There were wild turkeys. A lot of theories say it was goose. It is known for certain that one of the fowl items was swan. That's been proven by a historian. They found proof of it in writings. They also had lobster. Lobster and seal. Remember, the Indians taught them how to hunt and fish. The Indians knew about the seals and the lobster, and they were probably eating the swans and the geese themselves. Amen. What's the difference between a goose and a swan? You know, to them, nothing. Food. Amen. Let me read a little thing from the Plymouth Rock one here. This was gleaned from the archives. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling that so we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They 4 in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little outside help, served the company almost a week. At which time, among other recreations, we exercised our arms. I think they were arm wrestling. Oh. Is that what they mean? No? That's what exercising our arm would mean to me. They were probably talking about their weapons. Amen? Many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, and with some 90 men. So we know that there was at least 91 Indians as part of the feast, whom for 3 days we entertained feasting. They went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it had not always been so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. Now, who they were writing this to, they didn't say. Maybe another colony or something. And then I got 3 myths. The myth number 1 we already really talked about. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621, and the pilgrims celebrated it every year after. No. Fact was, the first feast wasn't repeated, and it was 3 days long. In fact, the colonists didn't even call it Thanksgiving. To them, Thanksgiving was a religious holiday in which they would go out to church and thank God for a specific event. Now, remember, these were Puritans. Okay, probably more like our Holiness Pentecostals today, if you know what a Holiness Pentecostal is. That would go to church and thank God on Thanksgiving. As such, the winning of a battle, or such as the winning of a battle, on such a religious day, the types of recreational activities that the pilgrims and the Indians participated in during the 1621 harvest feast, dancing, singing secular songs, playing games, wouldn't have been allowed had it been a religious Thanksgiving holiday. Okay, myth number two. The original Thanksgiving feast took place on the fourth Thursday of November. They can't actually date it. Fact is, it was in sometime between September 21st and November 11th in 1621. It was a harvest feast. So whenever the harvest was done that year, that's when they had the feast. And that can vary by almost 2 months if you've ever been in farming. It just depends on the weather. Amen? It was 3 days long. And unlike our modern holiday, it was based on English harvest festivals, which traditionally occurred around the 29th of September. So they're saying it was more likely the end of September. And after that first harvest was completed by the Plymouth colonists, their governor, William Bradford, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving and prayer that was shared in by all the colonists and neighboring Indians. Okay, that was after what we know as the Thanksgiving feast. 2 years later, this is where I got it, the day of fasting and prayer during a period of drought was changed to one of thanksgiving because the rain came during the prayers. Gee, wonder why it came during the prayers. Because we serve a gracious God who answers our prayers. Amen? And then during the American Revolution, a yearly day of national thanksgiving was suggested by the Continental Congress. I read you that. Amen. Oh, last myth. The pilgrims wore only black and white clothing. And they had buckles on their hats and garments and on their shoes. In fact, buckles did not come into fashion until later in the 17th century. And black and white were commonly worn only on Sunday and formal occasions. Since this wasn't a formal religious holiday, they would not have worn it. Women typically dressed in red, earthy green, brown, blue, violet, and gray, while men wore clothing in white, beige, black, earthy green, and brown. Yeah. Thanksgiving. When we go to celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow, and you sit down at that table, the number one thing on your mind better be thanks to God. Because He has given you the ability to have whatever you have and see set before you on that table and throughout your house. Without Him, you are nothing. Amen? God is so good. And yet, our people, our country over the years, have taken something and tried to construe and turn it into something to make money. I'll just say it like it is. Something to make money. Black Friday. Day after Thanksgiving. All the big sales. You know what? My wife and I boycott them. Because all you're going to find on those days, I don't even know if I want to say it. People with attitudes, they'll say it that way. You will not find gracious Thanksgiving people on Black Friday. Don't get in front of them. They'll run you over. They'll take stuff right out of your hands. We boycott the stores now. Stay home. My God is good. He takes care of all my needs. I don't have to go to a sale on Black Friday. He provides for my needs in other ways. Amen? He provides through men. What does it say in Luke 6:38? My God, come on, let's read it. Let me read it, because it just happened to me. I needed money for something, didn't have it. purposed in my heart was something for God too. And God took care of my need. Amen. 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. Will be put into my bosom or my pocket. By men. God's not going to drop it out of the sky to you. He's going to use someone else. He's going to use a man or a woman. But He'll get it to you. If your heart's right, if you have a true need, and it's especially if it's for something that's serving Him, He will get it to you. And He'll get it to you in unexpected, miraculous looking ways sometimes. Amen? Because my God is good. And my God cares about the things that I care about when they line up with Him. When I offer my thanksgiving to Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why do you think He tells you that? Because if you seek first Him and all of His righteousness, everything else you need, He'll provide. Amen? Praise God. God is good, amen?
Amen.
The time to who?
Me.
I'll tell you how good He is. We have an early evening.